Good morning, Steger. How are we?
Good. How are you?
We're doing well. I need to start here because it's not so much a bone to pick, but we do need to expand the conversation, and it's an important one. I hope you don't mind if we have it to start off about the Old Dutch Ariba chips. I needed some clarification. Now, I think we're all familiar with the zesty taco and the nacho cheese, the zesty coming in the orange bag, the nacho in the red. But as of late, there have been new additions, and you have been trumpeting one of the, now, was it the yellow bag or the green bag?
It was like the bright yellow, chili.
The chili lime or whatever it is?
Chili lime, yeah. It's not zesty taco or nacho by any means, but I mean, it wasn't a swing and a miss either. It's been pretty good. There's a kind, I don't know, is crispy bacon out there?
Yeah.
I haven't really seen crispy bacon out west. It's generally out east, and I don't get the Mexican chili out here. You only get it out west. So, there's a few new kinds in the Ariba. Again, nothing touches zesty taco.
Okay, then, you know what? Then we can move on, because I was going to...
Did you take that back, Dean?
Because I couldn't remember which one you had recommended. I was at the gas station filling up. I'm like, oh, look, they got...
Did you try Zesty Taco?
Well, I've that's been one of my favorites forever. But you have been talking about the new ones, and I thought you were a big fan of the yellow bag or the green bag. I bought both because I couldn't remember which one you'd said.
What do you think of chili lime?
The green is the guacamole, and I'm not...
Yeah, the guacamole's not a great fan. One, I don't think. No.
And the yellow is okay. Like, it's fine. But... again, to your point, I don't think it comes close to the zesty, which is
still...
Have
you tried the pinky purple bag, the sweet chili lime?
No.
The sweet chili heat, sorry. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's basically like Doritos on steroids. Way better. Ooh, sweet really? Chili heat, yeah.
Well, these are bold claims you're making. I guess I'll have to continue my research. But
aren't you supposed to like warm up the guest first before you give them all the tough questions? I feel like this is full barrels
just,
here.
There's nothing like the crunch of the chip, you know what I mean? It's just like the chip in itself almost doesn't need flavor compared to the others. So
good. Yeah. So good. Okay. I guess we can move on to other things. I saw yesterday, it was June 15th, 2015, the anniversary of the Stanley Cup win in Chicago. It was their third over that stretch. You were a part of that. What do you remember from June 15th of 2015?
A lot. I remember it was my first shift. I got tripped on a half breakaway. And then I was like, oh boy. And remember some moments throughout the game, but I remember the end of the game pretty vividly when my son, he was born on the second. I had to fly out, play the game on the third in June. And I didn't see him since the second when he was born. And my wife and him drove to the game. And then the next time I got to see him was on the ice inside the Stanley Cup. So that's what I really remember the most, was seeing my kid again with the cup. It was a crazy moment.
Oh, that is something. So that's a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you see your kid, right? And then you got to leave him. It's my first kid too. So it was like, what is going on? You're in the cup finals. You didn't sleep the night before. You play, you know. And then all of a sudden, it's like you wake up like 2.5 weeks or 2 weeks later, not even, and you have him in the Stanley Cup. It was the whirlwind dream. I mean, obviously, it was an incredible dream, but yeah, that was wild. Wild, wild few weeks.
And that's Tampa Bay that year, correct? You take that in six. And it's weird to watch with so many of the Hawks that are still intact, I mean, Kane and Taves, but it kind of ends there. Looking at some of the players that played for Tampa Bay, it's still Kucherov and Alex Killorn, and there's Tyler Johnson was on that team.
Is Hedman there yet?
Hedman was there.
Yeah, he was dominant. Dominant. Hedman was in 2015. Yeah.
Palat was on that team. So it's amazing. That's in the big scope of things. 6 years is not a ton, but that this Lightning team has been together a long time. Do you kind of marvel at how they've been able to keep that core? It's not even a core. It's a huge part of that team together. Stamkos was there, all of that.
Their whole core was together. You could argue that team in 2015 may be deeper than they are now. It's just their players are better now. You know, Kucherov's better now. Johnson's not what he was then. Johnson was a lot better then than he is now. But they, I get jealous of Tampa Bay a little bit because Tampa Bay went to the conference finals and they went and played us in the finals. So I believe 14 they lost, right? I could be wrong. But they were all their kids' first and second years together and then third year in 2015. So it was kind of like us in 2010. We were all together. That was our third year together. We were up and down in 07, a lot of us. And then we were playing 08, 09, 10. And we win a Stanley Cup. And then we're done. Like 11 of us were gone. But Tampa Bay, it was kind of like they, just because the way the cap is now compared to in 2010, they were able to keep the like a lot of their guys together, a majority of them. And they've been able to carry that through. They've shifted a bit of their identity. They've changed a little bit to the way they play to win a Stanley Cup now. And I mean, it's paid off, but they've kept this, I mean, 10, 12, 13 players together for a long time, all playing at a high level, and they just know how to win. You can see it. They, you know, they don't panic in certain situations. All the top teams have it. They can beat you one through four lines. They're fun to watch. They play the game. Like, it's exciting to watch comparative when you're doing contrasting styles to the Islanders where you're sleeping. Like, that game on Sunday, I fell asleep in the second period. It was horrible, horrible to watch. But that game yesterday, you can kind of see, you know, Kucherov, the plays he's making. It's these guys bring you out of your seats. They just have so many weapons. But I do get jealous in the sense that, like, after we won, I would have loved for us to stay together for a few more years to see if we could have gone back-to-back. Now, the Hawks ended up winning again in 2013. But I'm more so talking about the nucleus we had with Bufflin, Ladd, myself, all of us that had to leave after.
I was going to say, what everyone will ask you, what do you remember about the 2015 Cup? And what do you remember about the 09-10? You had to leave after that Stanley Cup in 2010, and then you watched, I guess, would you call it one of your most disappointing seasons? Would you play 10 games? I think that year, I was looking this morning, you got into 10 games in 2012-13. Due to injury, and the team that you used to play for ends up winning the Stanley Cup. What do you remember about watching your boys go on and win without you?
That, honestly, that year, that 2013 was like one of the worst years ever. And I mean, again, not trying to make anyone feel sorry. That is not where I'm coming from. It was on a personal level, okay? Personal level. But yes, I have one of my best years in Florida. I'm playing good. I come back for the lockout. I crack my sternum, and then I get a cheap shot by Agudas, blows my knee out, and you're sitting at home, you know, kind of bitter at everything, number one, right? And really bitter, sorry, at everything. And then you're watching the Hawks go through the playoffs, and then you see them in the finals, and then you see them win. I remember I was at Glenn Thompson. I was on his ranch. It's just outside of Lethbridge, Alberta, or Picture Butte, sorry. And I was with my dad watching the game and my brother. And I remember when Boland scored the goal, it was like, it was probably the worst feeling in a weird way. Like, you're happy for your friends, but you're also like, they don't need me. I don't know. It's I don't know. It was a horrible experience for myself, just because everything encapsulated into one. And then, but that kind of there gave me a lot of fire to try to come back. I never was the same player again after getting that knee injury, but it at the end of the day, it kind of motivated me again, but it was hands down the hardest, I'd say 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. I wondered about, cause you always hear about guys that when they win, what do you recall about it? But inevitably you have to sometimes watch either a team that you hated, right? I'm thinking probably like for Vancouver to watch Boston win or whatever it is, but to watch your buddies win without you. I never thought of it quite that way. Not only are you sour that you couldn't be a part of it, but they don't need me. They can win without me.
They don't need me. That's the part. It's not so, it's like, that's it. You're like, they don't need me. You're like, oh my, maybe I'm not good. And then you start to, it really does, question, you put a lot of doubts in your mind and you question your ability and your worth, I guess. It is something that, you know, you come back from and then you put in the back of your mind. But that, again, I didn't sit there for like weeks on end doubting it. It was in that moment, right? It was like when it happened, it took about an hour of me being, you know, poopy pants, sad, sorry for myself, and then whatever. But it sucked, I remember. Sucked.
I want to ask you about Boston, because it's not a crossroads, but again, you talk about a team that's been together for a long time. You go to 2011 in that cup. It was Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand, like those guys were all together. And yeah, Chara's gone and Krug is gone, but you've now got Krejci's at the end of the road. He's a UFA. You can bring him back. You got a decision to make on Taylor Hall. How long are you going to keep him? If not, then how much? Kind of a deal. Where's Boston at in your mind? Because I watch Boston some nights and I feel like they are right there. I love watching Marchand play. The goaltending has been pretty good for them. But do you start to punt a little bit, or do you try and load up again with one more year of Bergeron on this contract?
You have to do one more year. I don't know what they will do in that year. I still think they're competitive. I still think they can make the playoffs. It depends on Rask and Halak and the health. I know Rask won't be back till January. You got to find someone who's going to solidify the backup position if you bring in Halak again because of his health, and he's not been healthy as of late. Now, you're looking up front. They need to bring in Hall, I believe, back, but it can only be 1 year, and it's got to be the right dollar amount. I believe in order to keep competing, they have to find that second line center, and that they have one in David Krejci. Now, you don't need to rely on David Krejci to be that point catalyst throughout the regular season because he's never been. He always shows up in the playoffs, so you know you got that player who's going to come in the playoffs to play. And you got to find a depth D-man big time, and you need to find another guy who can play down the lineup or figure out what DeBrusk is. Right, DeBrusk is making $3 million. He's not even in your lineup some games. He could score a couple of seasons ago. He can't now. I think he's in a bit of a role crisis. Personally, watching, I don't think he really knows what he is because he came into the league. He kind of came in as a worker. Then he worked up and he started scoring. He scored, I think, 20 goals 1 year.
27 in his second year, like just nuts.
His second year, yeah. And you're playing with like Krejci, you're playing first power play, you're playing, but then what happens is by year three you sink into what your role actually is, right? Because sometimes you can either have an inflated number your first year or second year, but then by year three the league figures you out and you start to figure out what you actually are. And I think that's been a bit of a, he's come back down to earth but then also passed, right? Because he is a really good player. So I think he's in a bit of a role crisis. He doesn't know if he's a goal scorer or a worker. And he thinks he's a goal scorer maybe, and the team may think he's more of a worker. I think he's somewhere in between, someone who can go up and in, down the lineup. He needs to be versatile. He's never going to carry the brunt of the offense, but he's very critical to the team. So figure out what he's got to be and what he's got to do. And maybe that just you have to move on from him because maybe the relationship between him and Cassidy is fractured. So I don't know. I'm not an insider again. I say this every time. I'm an analyst. But I think you got to go for one more shot. Bergeron's gave so much to this organization, this city. Same with Krejci, same with Rask and all these guys, and they still have enough left, I believe, in the tank. But just get the pieces in there that can get you there.
I was glad you brought up DeBrusk. That was going to be my question because he's a name that's out there. And to your point, like, what is he? I mean, geez, each year he's looked like different things. Who are some other names that you'd see likely to move up? I mean, obviously Jack Eichel's the biggest one, and we can touch that in a bit. But are there other guys like him that you're like, okay, this is a change of scenery guy. Like, this guy reeks of a new opportunity elsewhere.
I mean, you could go across Canada and, I mean, you look at what are they going to do with Marner, right? Is that a situation they're going to get into? Is, are they going to find, you know, are they going to bring in Seth Jones and willing to move on from him? Are they going to go out and look for a guy like maybe a Philip Forsberg, right? And bring in a lower cap hit on 1 year. I'm kind of interested to see, not so much he needs a change of scenery, but maybe what is that team willing to do right now? I wouldn't move Marner, but that's just, you know, what you see and what you hear. Yeah. Jack Eichel. Do you want to get into Eichel right now?
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, it's not often you get a guy of his age, his pedigree, that is vocally wanting out, and the organization's also like, yeah, we're good too. Let's move on.
I think we need Rhett to talk about this, but if you're the Buffalo Sabres and you're thinking about trading Jack Eichel, I think you're nuts. Like, I actually think you're nuts. And without trying to make this work, we look at the whole Marc-Andre Fleury situation last year. Everyone's like, this is burnt. Never going to work, never going to happen. And I'm like, well, it could happen. Like, there's a possibility. Yeah, the relationships can be fractured, but you know what can fix that is just playing him. If you just play him, he obviously loves Vegas and he's better than Lehner and he's consistently show it, but Lehner had a good stretch and he went, but you can make that relationship work if you work at it from the top down. Now, that goes on the Pegulas. Who are they going to put in place? You have Kevin Adams there now. The culture needs to be set from the top down. I ranted on this one, was it 3 weeks ago? Like, the ownership hired a soccer president to be their head coach. And I know Ralph Kruger is a head coach, but he didn't coach for 5 years. You know, like, these are things that, like, if you're a player on the team, you're like, well, this guy was, like, you know, playing soccer in Europe, and now he's our coach. So I think there's a massive issue with the culture that's being set from the top down. That needs to get figured out, and I think you're insane to move Jack Eichel. The return, I've heard, oh, what if you get Shane Prince? What if you get this guy? Shane Prince isn't Jack Eichel, I don't think. I could be wrong, but I don't think. I think he's going to be really good, but Jack Eichel's like 6'4". He's 215. He's skilled. He can skate. He can do everything. You've tried to make him happy. There's been issues. I think it comes with the coaching staff and a bit of the management issue. You fix that, I think you can fix Jack Eichel. I don't know where he goes. You hear L.A. There's a couple situations. Maybe Calgary. Who knows? I don't know. That would be a great trade, I think, for Calgary. But what do you do to – what do you have to give up to get that guy?
Everything, basically.
Probably your best player, your best prospect, and a first would be a really low starting point.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like,
I don't know. What, yeah.
I get. So, again, but if you look at it from Jack Eichel's perspective and how things have been handled, you're like, yeah, I want out of here. Like, get me out of here. I just think if you're the team, okay, you go in and you get the first or second overall pick again next year. You know, or say now you're waiting again, and now you're waiting for guys like Cousins who are, what, 23, 24, and you're bringing in another 18-year-old. Is that 18-year-old going to put you over the top? I don't know. I think you have guys there. Like, I look at their roster. If I was a manager, I'd be pretty excited about some of the pieces there.
And that's why I said before, and I know we'll talk about it more as we get closer to the draft, but if I'm Buffalo, I'm also trading my first overall pick. Because Owen Power as a defenseman may well be tremendous, but you've already got Rasmus Dahlin at 21, who's a young stud defenseman. If we're punting and if we're trading Jack Eichel, then I'm trading Sam Reinhart and I'm trading my first overall pick and I'm starting from scratch.
Well, that's just the thing. You can't just trade Jack. It's got to be, you got to try to get rid of the other guys that are going to get you value so you're good in 5-6 years from now, 4 years maybe. I mean, Dylan Cousins, too, another stud young guy, right? So you got to look at that. It just can't be Jack. You got to get rid of all the other guys. You know, what's Ristolainen and all these guys? You got to go get pieces for them now.
I'm going to go get some Ariba chips, but I'm getting the orange bag. Ooh, yeah, because now we're on the same page. I think we can all rest easier at night.
Oh, my dad would love that. Every time I come home to the Roy Versteeg residence, there's a big bag of zesty Ariba waiting, you know? He's the chip king. It's in my DNA.
It is. Come home, Chris. Come home. Just come home. We need you. Come on.
I'm coming home. My kid's playing in the Stampede Challenge.
Very nice.
2 weeks.
Love it.
Let us know when you're here. We'll do it. We'll get it together.
We'll swing the sticks, eh?
Sounds good. Thanks, Steger.
And
take care, guys.